you've got to have that customer service side of it. If you're getting frustrated because, you know, it's the third hot water service in a day that's blown up, it's your job. You've got to look after people in their homes and you have to like the people that you deal with. Now, you're not going to always like everyone that you deal with. You're going to have people who you don't want to deal with over time. But unfortunately, when they're your clients, you don't really have a choice. But yeah, that would be one of the biggest things, that people often get into property management because of the property, but you got to get into it for the people.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate Podcast, where we delve into some of the most inspirational minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. Hayley Mitchell started in real estate in 1999 and has built a very successful career working in all facets of property management, including owning her own businesses. Over the years, she has won numerous awards, including REIV Property Manager of the Year on two separate occasions, has been on our cover and has been named twice in our industry influencers lists in 2017 and 2018. She's known for generously sharing her knowledge with others through her training and events company, Mitchell PT, which does many events throughout the year, including the upcoming PM Learning Retreat at Warren Ponds, where I'm delighted to be covering things like exactly what Generation Z might be looking for in their search for a home and how you might be able to meet that need, and also how to look for competitive advantage in places where no one else is looking right now, alongside a host of other great speakers that will be there. In the last few months, Hayley has also started a new business called Geelong Property Managers and plans to shake up the Geelong market using exceptional customer service, the latest technology and best practice processes. So today we're going to find out more about how Hayley remains productive when she has so many balls to juggle, some of the new opportunities opening up in property management, plus some of Hayley's favourite time management tools and tips. Now, speaking of time management tips, Hayley talks specifically about many of the tools that she uses. So once again, we took notes. And for about a week, you can download an episode companion or an action guide for this podcast at eliteagentelevate.com. Now, lots of you are already dialed into another time management tip from us, which is getting a newsletter in the mail called Extra, where we aggregate all of the best action tips and tools from all of our podcasts, wrap them up in an easy-to-consume package and deliver them right to your door. So if that sounds like an option you'd like to check out, go to eliteagentelevate.com, and once you've downloaded this week's episodes, hit that big green button to sign up for Extra, and we will send you all of this month's good stuff in the mail, as well as giving you access to all of the notes from all of our previous podcast guests. That's it from me for this week. Enjoy the chat with Hayley, and hopefully I'll catch up with some of you in Geelong in October. So welcome to the podcast, Hayley Mitchell.
Thank you.
So it's really great to have you on, because I know that you're super busy at the moment and you're getting ready for this next property management learning retreat that you run in amongst a whole bunch of other things. And I know this event is a little bit different and it's quite intimate, like compared to some of the other events out there in the real estate industry. So tell us a little bit about what's happening there and what you've got planned.
PMLR, so we're into our fourth year now. I actually created it because Victoria doesn't have many conferences. And I remember the first year I put it on, I wanted to do something really unique and have that retreat style atmosphere. And I found this amazing venue and we booked it and I had my speakers and sponsors all lined up and I thought, gee, I hope people come. The first year was great. We had, I think, 44, 45 people the first year. The second year we had just over 60. And then last year we sold out with 90 and we had a waiting list. And we've got bookings open again now and it's going really well.
Yeah, well, I know I'm looking forward to meeting you down there. Is it Warren Ponds?
Warren Ponds Estate. So it's the old Deakin Management Centre and it's down in Geelong.
Yeah, amazing. And what are some of the things that you're hoping that attendees will take away from that conference?
One of the biggest things, I think, is really the networking aspect. So because it is a smaller retreat and we are capped at 90, we hire out the whole venue. So everyone just hangs out, the speakers and the sponsors and the delegates. It's a really social, fun, easygoing and relaxed environment. So the amount of takeaways that people get, it's not always just from the speakers in the actual sessions, it's everything that they get from everyone else throughout the whole event as well. And people come back year on year. And I've got one girl in particular, and as soon as I put bookings up, she books within 1 minute. And I'm like, okay, so you're coming again? But she absolutely loves it. And it is that sort of really relaxed environment. So totally different than what you get at a normal conference.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things, you know, because being in real estate or even being in property management or your own business or whatever, it can get quite lonely, like, you know, and it's that meeting other people that think, oh, yeah, I've got the same problem as you, or, you know, they might have dealt with the solution in a different way. I think that's the real gold in things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. It is.
So I'm definitely looking forward to it, and we'll leave some links in the show notes and things like that for people to come along and register if you're interested in coming along to PMLR. So I've been excited to chat to you because we haven't really caught up in a while, not since we took over the foyer of REA a couple of years ago.
Yeah, we did.
You know, when we put you on the cover of EPM. Some people might not be, you know, like, because you've got people coming and going from the industry all the time. So tell us a little bit about how you got into the industry and what you're up to now.
I got into the industry because my brother was actually a property manager, and I used to go and have lunch with him. And I remember one day saying, oh, your job's really fun. It's really kind of glamorous, and you drive around in a fancy car and you wear a suit. And he's like, yeah, yeah, it's great. You should get into it. You'd be really good at it. And the funny thing is, he got me a job in the company he was working, and I loved it, and he didn't. So he actually left the industry a couple of years after I joined. It took me a couple of years to really find my feet. So getting into the right company was really important, and somewhere that would allow me to learn and achieve my goals. So that was back in 1999. So 20th year anniversary coming up very, very soon, which is going to be fun. But yeah, it's been a really interesting career. So it's, for me personally, I think the biggest thing was getting into those companies that really supported me. And I know I see a lot of it in the APMC, the community that I run on Facebook, that a lot of people really get into industry for different reasons and get out because it's not quite what they expected, when sometimes it's not necessarily the job, but it could be where they're working, or they could absolutely have an awesome place to work, but they just can't handle the job. So it's a tricky industry.
It is interesting because we interviewed a whole bunch of people for one of our issues not that long ago. And I remember thinking it's an amazing industry because people come from all walks of life into real estate. And it's funny what you say about that they get in and it's not what they expect. You've basically, I think, seen it and done it all in 20 years, or there's probably some things that you haven't done quite yet because the industry changes so rapidly. But yeah, what are some of the big challenges that you faced, and how did you overcome them to have that sort of longevity in the industry?
Burnout was a big one for me. So different stages of my career, I've looked at leaving, and I think everyone does when they've been in real estate for a little while. I often took on too much because I wanted to always be the high achiever, I think, and especially early on in my portfolio, I was always like, yeah, give me more properties, I'll look after them. And then I was working back late or getting there early and working weekends, and just burning out was probably the biggest thing. I think also early on in my career, not really understanding what else was out there, because you do get really isolated in your own business. And I think that's something that the community and the Facebook really helps with, is that everyone shares ideas. So you know about the new technology that's coming out, and you know, podcasts are out there now to inform people. It's not like you've got to go down to, what was that, bookshop, Borders or something, to buy your book to learn how to do something. So information's so readily at your fingertips now. And I think that's something that you're not quite as isolated that you used to be, because you've got that community of information right there.
Yeah, and I think that's really important that everyone knows that they can reach out, like, you know, because it help is, you know, even if you do feel a bit lost, sometimes help is actually not too far away.
That's right.
And there are so many people in the industry, yourself included, that we found that are just more than happy to give their time and help people.
Mm, absolutely.
So other than PMLR, what are some of the other things that you've been focusing on recently?
My property manager, Tiff, says whenever she looks at my diary, she gets terrified because I'm really colour-coded. So for everything that I do, it's got different colour and my diary is always completely full, so it freaks her out. we have a couple of businesses. So we've got Mitchell PT, which is our training events company. So we do training events all over Victoria. We also do conferences in Victoria. So we've got three that we run each year, which is PMLR coming up, PM Reach and RE Edge. So we've got the three based in Victoria, which is taking up a little bit of my time. My husband's got his own real estate product as well, Realmatic Respond. And then we've got Geelong Property Managers, which is our business down in Geelong, which we recently purchased. So we purchased that in March this year. And I spend a couple of days a week down there doing property management stuff.
I understand now why your diary looks just a little bit scary, and I'm going to ask you for some time management tips in a moment.
Yes.
I think. But you just referred to the community a little while ago. So you run the Australian Property Manager Community, which has always been one of the most lively groups on Facebook, with a lot of property managers that go to talk to each other, to network, to solve problems and stuff. What are some of the big issues that are coming up for property managers at the moment?
I think a lot of directors have pulled back a little bit on their property management departments just due to the sales market being a little bit volatile over the last 12 months. So there's some directors that have really put into their property management departments because they're trying to grow them and pull out more revenue, but there's also some that have just completely pulled back. So I think a lot of it comes down to property managers not feeling supported or valued. I see a lot of property managers burning out or not being able to keep that passion for the industry that they once had. And that's a massive topic at the moment. I've found that across a lot of the posts where people actually bring up that topic. Training comes through as well, where people really, and I see it with some of the posts, that questions that people ask is stuff that they should be able to ask internally, but they perhaps don't have the structure or the people to help them internally to answer those simple questions as well. And it comes down to a lot of property managers just being put in a seat and not given the training resources to actually move forward. They're probably the biggest things. And the one that I'm most passionate at the moment is really about that whole mindset and getting property managers back into the passion of the job, because it makes it so much easier if you actually love what you do every day.
Yeah, absolutely. I think part of what you're describing there kind of starts at the top. And so say if a principal is listening to this podcast and sort of, because I think when you're a leader, you do have a feeling when your people aren't quite happy or they're not quite performing or whatever. What would be your advice to principals listening to this to try and re-engage property managers and try and figure out what's going on?
Get interested in what they've got to say. Make them part of the team. And a lot of businesses I go into, because I do consulting as well, is there's a real separation between property management and sales. And sales is often seen as being the hierarchy in the office and property management's just down the back. And I really think we need to even that up, especially when property management is the backbone of any business when it comes to sales, especially when sales is up and down. So actually making the property managers feel like they're part of the inclusive team, I think, is really important. There's a lot of companies that do it really, really well, but there's some that could really focus on that part of it. And getting ideas from the team about how they think they could move the business forward, because they often get so isolated that they don't feel like they can be heard, and giving them the opportunity to put their ideas forward, it will move the business forward immensely.
Yeah, so I guess it's really, you know, having a couple of good ears, right? You know, as a leader, you really need to sort of put aside what it is you think you know and actually listen to your people.
Yep, that's right.
One of the things that you're quite passionate about, I know, is that you would like to see property managers get the passion back, as you were just saying, and look at their roles, not just as a job, but as a career. Mm. So if you're a property manager listening to this, what are some of the opportunities perhaps that property managers aren't seeing to turn their current role into a career? What do you see as the good stepping stones for a property manager?
Number one, they've got to put in more. So you can't just turn up every day and do the basics of the job and then put your hand out and say, hey, give me something more. You've got to prove that you can do more and that you're capable of it and that you've got the drive and passion to really do it. I worked so hard in my early years in property management because I wanted to prove that I could do it and that I could do more. But I think a lot of people aren't prepared to do the hard yards to get it ahead, and they want the handout rather than actually having to work for it. And the other thing is a lot of property managers are too scared to put up their hand and say, hey, I really want this, for the fear of being rejected. And don't ever feel like that, because if I did that early on in my career, I wouldn't have achieved what I've achieved, but actually put my hand up and said, hey, I want to do this. What do I have to do to move my career forward to this stage if this is what I want? My old business partner actually hired me a business coach for about 12 months, because I stepped into a leadership position. I was an excellent property manager. I had no idea how to manage staff, and that is the hardest part of the job. And I'm still, that's probably my weakest part still. And he hired me a business coach. And honestly, without the business coach, I wouldn't have kept going in that role, because I really was floundering. I wasn't quite sure what I was meant to be doing. And that helped me a lot. So put up your hand and say, I want to get to here. What do I have to do? What are my shortfalls and how can I work on them? And look at the tools and resources that you need to actually move it to that next level.
Yeah, because then that's your way of closing the gap between where you are now and where you want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're happy exactly where you are and it's awesome, that's fantastic. Stick with it. But if you're in a position where you want the next step, or what do you need to do, what do you need to change in yourself to get there?
What does the property manager of the future look like, do you think? I know that's a tricky question.
Do you know, I really see it changing. I don't know how, but I do see a lot more property managers running their own businesses, whether that be smaller home-based businesses where people are managing, you know, 100 on their own, they set up like I did a few years ago. I think there's got to be a lot more flexibility in this industry as well. I think there's got to be, if people are looking at keeping those people long-term, they've got to be offering some form of ownership to their property managers or their senior positions to try and keep the good people in the roles. But I think for the most part, I see a lot more smaller based home businesses delivering that kind of community feel. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's the way technology is, you can manage property anywhere now.
It's interesting that you just said the community feel. So I just want to pick up on that for a moment.
Yeah.
So, you know, with the world going technology crazy, do you think that the landlord of the future, so let's talk about the owner or the investor of the future now, as well as the property manager of the future, are they looking for someone that is actually like really embedded in the community that can easily go and do things, like rather than having it all managed by technology?
Yeah, I think you've got different clientele for different things. I mean, you've got software companies now that are doing property management, and Different is one of those software. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about different companies, but they're a company that is, you know, software based, and they'll manage your property for a fixed fee. So there's going to be a lot of those sort of disruptors and competitors coming into the market. You've still obviously got all of your franchise organisations as well. And then I think that you will have those sort of home based property managers delivering that community. So going back to having that relationship based property management. So there'll be different people that like different things. Personally, I would go more for my own properties in a community-based one, because I want to have a person I can talk to rather than technology managing my property. But you might have owners that are currently overseas that really don't want to speak to the property manager, and they want to be able to have that quick chat on the technology and get their questions answered. So I reckon the next 5 years we're going to see the biggest movement in terms of real estate that we've ever seen, and especially around the property management area.
What do you think businesses need to do to prepare themselves for the next 5 years?
You need to start asking your customers what they want. So there's a lot of companies that are really doing those NPS scores and surveying their clients and seeing exactly what they want. I don't think it's going to be a one-stop shop anymore where this is the way we do property management. I think there's going to be a lot more businesses which are diversifying and offering different service offerings depending on what the client wants. So you might pay a rent collection only fee, but then if you want to do the maintenance and the routines, you'll pay something else. We've got a couple of agencies who manage property in our area, so in the Geelong area, but they're based in Sydney. So we're going to be the people on the ground doing their routine inspections, their leasing appointments, and they do all of the admin work. So we never actually speak to the client. We deal directly with the property management agency based in Sydney, but we do all their running around for them. So I think there'll be a lot more of that as well. We've got the people on the ground sort of outsourced. Yeah, that's interesting.
Interesting you say that actually, because we rent a property in North Sydney and we rent it from an agent, but the people that maintain it, they're outsourced.
Yeah. And there's going to be a lot more of that moving forward, I think.
Yeah. So more, it's sort of getting a bit like the American model of outsourcing the local aspect of it.
That's it. And that, I actually made that comment to someone the other day. I can't remember who I was talking to, but I said, I feel like we're becoming more and more like America with what we're doing, with the way that they do things. You know, even around the sales sort of side of things, it's interesting.
Yeah, well, I think over there they've got, you know, you can actually outsource your inspections. Mm. There are inspection bureaus. So if someone wants to go and look at a property and you've got an arrangement with the inspection bureau, they can just call and you don't have to take a property manager out of their day. It just all happens.
Yeah, I think so. Property managers will be relationship managers in the future, and I think the jobs won't necessarily be done by them. So whoever's in property management now, because they really love how it works now, it's not going to be the way it is in the future in 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, interesting. We definitely live in interesting times for sure. So let's circle back to time management, because I had a whole bunch of stuff written down on productivity. When you're talking to Hayley Mitchell, you've got to talk about productivity tools, and you just said that your husband is into his tech as well.
Yes.
So what at the moment are your three favourite tools, let's say, for running your business more effectively?
For Geelong property managers?
Yeah.
Okay. Trello is a huge one for me. So I always use Trello. I've used it for years. We use it for all of our businesses. We implemented that in Geelong, and then my property manager, Tiffany, put it on steroids. So she's made BDM cards and leasing cards and vacating cards and all this different stuff. So Trello's an absolutely huge one. One of the other things is you get so many emails and communications a day. So having a system where you don't have to email people constantly if you've got a quick question. So we use Microsoft Teams and we just send messages through there, so you get really quick answers. And especially because we've got our home-based business office where I am now, and then we've got our Geelong rent roll as well. So if my husband needs a quick question, he'll just pop it in Teams and send me the message and I just quickly respond back. So that's been really good. So you cut down on that constant email communication of people going backwards and forwards with everything.
Yeah.
We're implementing technology at the moment, so we're changing software. So that's always a bit of an interesting time. But I think software is one of those big things that we're going to see in the future where there's huge changes, especially around the trust accounting systems that people are using. And, you know, you've got all the regular ones that people have used for years, but there's a lot coming out on the marketplace at the moment, particularly around not having trust accounts. So when I first heard about that, I thought it was a bit weird, but looking into it further, it's actually quite clever the way it works with the payment gateway. So not actually having to sit there and do your end of month and a financial year and all of your reconciliations and everything where the money's just handled. I think we're really quite backwards in the way that we deal with people's money. So I think in the next few years, we're sort of transitioning at the moment, but the next few years you're going to see huge changes in the way the software is done.
Yeah, so let's talk about that for a moment because, you know, these non-trust accounting software packages are coming up more and more, and I suppose that just changes the model completely, doesn't it? Because you used to, the tenant would pay you the money, and then if there are any repairs and maintenance, and then your management fee and all that sort of thing, and then you disperse the rest I know I'm oversimplifying it.
Yeah, a lot harder than that.
Yeah, so without the trust account, how does all that work? Like, what about maintenance and things like that? Like, how do you deal with that stuff?
Well, from what I know at the moment, the tenant pays rent through the kind of payment gateway or the app, and it goes direct to the owner. It takes a clip of the fee to you, so whatever you've set up in your software. And if you've had bills that have come in or invoices, you've entered them into the system and it will collect that as well and pay those. The other thing an owner can do is they can withhold some funds. So they could say, let's withhold $500 for all future invoices. So if you, for example, enter a water invoice, you can just press the button, it will immediately pay, and then it will top up those held funds when the rent next comes in. So it's actually quite simple. Like, I know it's more complicated, but it is actually quite simple. And the owner has full transparency and control over how they want their money handled as well. So they can say, pay me when it's a full rent, pay me this when it hits this amount, never pay me. Like, they completely control their funds. So I think going forward as well, the biggest area of fraud is obviously in the trust account.
Yep.
So taking away the agent's control of that, I think's not necessarily a bad thing either.
Well, that's good, because we won't have to hear any of those bad news stories.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll all be gone.
Yeah.
Okay, so that in itself would be a big productivity bonus in some ways by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
But let's just talk about general diary management at the moment, because you say you colour code yours. So what does an average day look like? Like, what would your advice be to a property manager who's new in the job and is tearing their hair out because they're kind of being pulled in all sorts of different directions?
Property management, you're never going to be up to date. Really, there's always something to do. So you can be have all your emails cleared, but then you've got routines to organise or maintenance to follow up on or whatever it might be. Set your ideal diary as much as possible, obviously leaving areas for things to happen. But if you know in particular that you're really good at doing paperwork first thing in the morning, then make sure first thing in the morning you're doing paperwork, you're not out on the road talking to people. So for me, I like to do appointments late in the afternoon because I'm terrible in the morning. And in the morning, I like to get into the office and do the accounts because I just like to sit there in my little bubble and sip my coffee and do the accounts. So that's just the way I work it. Making sure that you leave enough time to actually follow up on those tasks that need to be done. So not the ones that pop up that a tenant calls you and says, you have to fix this now. And you're like, well, actually, I've got 2 weeks to fix that. But yes, I'll get onto it now for you. But those tasks that you need to follow up on to keep your portfolio up to date. Because I think the hardest thing is that once the portfolio gets out of control, it is so hard to get back in control. And you're always going to go through busy periods. But having that time allocated where you can catch up, and communication is the most important thing. So allowing enough time in your day for the phone calls and emails.
Yeah. And so you actually block those times out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you actually allow for the times that you need to catch up on things. Okay.
Yeah. You have to. And, you know, if something comes up, like you've got a hot water service that's blown up or the house has caught fire or you have to go out and do stuff, then completely there's flexibility in the diary. But having them set in there so that you can actually remember that that is what you're meant to be doing at that particular time.
Yeah. Actually, that's something that sort of time blocking thing, something that's really helped me. I used to create appointments all week and then I would wonder why I would have no time to do the actual work.
So. The other thing is with property management. So going back 20 years, I had a typewriter. Right? I didn't have email. I had a pager, actually, for when I was out on the road, because no one had mobile phones. And I'm really not that old, but I am, clearly. But we used to go out, and if we got paged, we'd have to go to a phone box and then call back to the office and find out what was going on. We did have a typewriter, so we typed our leases on our typewriter. We had dot matrix printer. We had film in the camera where we'd take photos of the outside of properties and then stick them on a typed up brochure and pop them in the window of the office, and that was our premier listings. So it was different, you know, and you look at now where everyone, you've got the technology to back you up, but everyone wants everything now.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest thing. And the other thing in property management, you've got to keep that document trail, because if you don't and something goes wrong, then you've got to be able to prove it later. And I think that one of the problems in property management now is property managers never pick up the phone. So you go into offices and all you hear is typing all day and there's no one talking. And unless you're actually picking up the phone and talking to your clients, they're not going to build the relationship, and emails take a lot longer than actually ringing someone, getting that quick answer. So my biggest recommendation would be, instead of sending, you know, 15 emails to one person to try and fix one thing, pick up the phone.
Yeah.
And you get it answered, and then you do point form back to them saying, further to our discussion, just want to confirm these points. This is my action plan. Thanks for talking to me. Done. So a job which potentially could have taken you an hour via email, you can get done in a couple of minutes. So don't be afraid to pick up the phone. That's my biggest time management tip.
Yeah. I think the other thing is too, like, people sort of treat their emails as a de facto to-do list, and I think that's a bit of a productivity sap as well. Yep. Like, you know, because in the absence of, oh, I don't know what else to do, you look at your email and then you see 10 things that, you know, yeah, just becomes a bit of a vicious circle.
Absolutely. And they're the gift that keeps on giving. The more you send, the more you get back.
Yeah, you're right. Just because something lands in your inbox doesn't mean you've got to react to it.
Correct.
So apart from being well organized, what are some of the other key skills you think are essential in property management today?
Key skills. You do have to actually like people. So, yeah. And that's another thing. A lot of posts you can see that people, you've got to have that customer service side of it. If you're getting frustrated because, you know, it's the third hot water service in a day that's blown up, it's your job. You've got to look after people in their homes, and you have to like the people that you deal with. Now, you're not going to always like everyone that you deal with. You're going to have people who you don't want to deal with over time. But unfortunately, when they're your clients, you don't really have a choice. But yeah, that would be one of the biggest things, that people often get into property management because of the property, but you got to get into it for the people. Look at customer service outside of real estate as well. So think about what you've had that has been absolutely incredible, that's blown you away when you've been at, say, at a hotel or at a cafe or at a restaurant, and try and bring that back into your business and go, wow, that made me go well. How can I make my clients go well? Yeah, that would be another thing that I'd suggest.
What about when, you know, because we've all seen some awful pictures of awful things that tenants might have done to a property, which, you know, would bring me to tears, let alone, you know, like if I had to deal with it, whether it's mold or parties or whatever. Like, yeah, you know, sometimes an unfortunate part of the job, I think, is that property managers see the best of people but also the worst.
Yeah, they do.
So what's your advice if the worst happens and you have a really bad day? Like, I'm sure you've got a number of stories. Give us an example of how you might have moved past something that was completely awful.
I had a tenant a few years ago who was really quite difficult throughout the tenancy, and she really stretched my patience, I guess we could say. But in the end, I just kind of relied on my knowledge of the legislation and VCAT to get it resolved. She wasn't particularly pleasant to deal with, and she used to lie a lot as well. And the hard thing was, though, that the tenant and the landlord were both friends at the start, not so much at the end, and I was kind of the monkey in the middle that had to deal with it all. So she really did stress me out quite a lot. At the end of the day, I just went, I'm doing a job. I need to act in accordance with the landlord's best interests as well as the lawful instructions of the landlord, and where the landlord was perhaps pushing the boundaries slightly with what she wanted to claim, going back on legislation, explaining to the landlord why they can't. So really, I use legislation a lot because I know it really well, and I think that that's got me out of quite a lot of tricky situations. And I wasn't afraid to go after this tenant after VCAT and say, do you know what, you did the wrong thing, I've got a VCAT order, you owe me money. Unless you're going to pay me, I'm going to get the sheriffs on you. She didn't pay me, I got the sheriffs on her, got the money. But don't be afraid of actually taking it to that next level as well. So I think a lot of people sort of go, oh, I've got the bit of paper and now just walk away from it because I've done my job. But there's always that extra that you can do. And I had a real satisfaction when I actually finalised that transaction and I got all the money for the landlord, and the landlord wasn't short of a quid. So it wasn't the fact that she needed the money, it was the fact that she needed to be paid it because she was owed it. So, yeah, that's what I try and do. I have a really good network of friends in this industry as well. So if I'm having a bad day, I'll get on Facebook Messenger, I'll get on the phone, or I'll get on email and just go, can I just chat to you for a little bit and just clear my head? Because often when you actually talk about it out loud, it's not such a big deal and you've got it off your chest. So having that network of people, I think, is really, really important. And that's where the community also comes in on Facebook, I think, as well.
Yeah. So you think try and take the emotion out of it, move it back to something more legislative and unemotional.
That's it.
And then work through your emotions with people that you trust.
Correct. Yeah, very much so.
So just for people that, because I do know it can be tough and I know that you can see a lot as a property manager that you can't unsee, basically.
Yeah.
So if you don't have a close network of people that understand, what are some of the options?
Even if you don't have the close network, you can reach out to people in the industry. So I have a lot of people that send me messages via Facebook or email just saying, hey, I need help in this situation. I'm also happy to where I don't know the answers and I don't know everything. I've been doing it 20 years, but I rely on getting answers off other people as well if I'm unsure, that people can come to me and I'll put up anonymous posts for them as well. So sometimes if they're having a bad day and they just need to vent but they don't want to put their name to something, then I can do that for them. Going to events and networking with people I think is really important, because say your partner works in a totally unrelated type role, like say they're a plumber or a builder or work in IT, like something that's not as customer faced as ours is, and you've had a terrible day and you go home and start venting to them, they're just going to look at you and go, what are you talking about? Your job's easy. You just sit at the desk and, you know, look pretty. But no one actually understands unless they're actually doing the job.
Yeah.
So make those networks with people, reach out to people on Facebook, go to training events and conferences and actually follow people up afterwards, because that's how I got to know so many people in the industry. I just went out there and talked to people. And I'm not naturally someone who likes to go out and network, but I've taught myself over the years because I think it's important to actually get out there and do it.
Yeah, and if you love your job and you want to progress, then that's what you need to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've gone through a lot of stuff today. We've talked about a lot of stuff, including everything from PMLR to time management tips and all that sort of thing. If there was one piece of advice that you could leave everyone with, or one piece of advice that you would give your younger self as a property manager, what would that be?
To give my younger self?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have changed anything about my career. And I know there were times that I really struggled, but I still wouldn't change those either, because everything that I've been through has actually got me to where I wanted to be, and it's taught me a lot along the way. My one bit of advice is this can actually be a really incredible career. And people often go, oh, I'm just a property manager. You're not just a property manager. There's no such thing. And I get really angry at people when they say that. If you really want to make this, anyone can open their own business. Anyone can do anything that they want to in this industry. You've just got to want to do it and work out the tools to make it possible. So that would be my biggest advice, that if you really want to make this your career and you love what you do, then what's stopping you? Because if I can do it, anyone can do it. I'm not particularly smart. I just gave it a crack and I'm still trying. Like, I do different things all the time and there's always different opportunities coming up. So, yeah, back yourself and go out and do it.
Yeah, and look for the opportunities. Absolutely. Hayley Mitchell, thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you.
To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.